Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool. It gave us a countdown like Thunderbirds are go.
Hi, Mike.
Keith, how are you? It's great to see you again.
It's good to be back on the Keith Walsh podcast.
It really is.
My camera's over there, sorry, so I'm not even going to be looking at you. But I feel like on screen, it looks like I'm looking at you. Do you know that kind of way? You know, remember the Brady Bunch thing where they'd be like, looking down at
yes.
each other? That's the effect I'm getting.
Well, regardless of whether it's on screen or not, it's very odd that I'm looking at the side of your face. But it's okay. You have a nice profile. You're very sort of Viking-esque in your profile.
Thank you very much.
The way your hair is at the moment. Yeah, yeah.
If I was a Viking, I'd probably be dead now, wouldn't I? 50? Would they have lived till they were 50?
Some of them would have, wouldn't they? Yeah. I think.
Old beard.
I think their teeth were the main issue. Yeah, old beard, yeah.
Their teeth, yeah. But they were like, but they weren't eating sweets, you know what I mean?
Well, they weren't brushing them either.
So what did they have to brush off? What were they getting plaque? Like, they probably had, you know what? Vikings probably had toothbrushes. They would have brushed their teeth with the, like, pubic hair of their...
Of an elk?
No, of their enemies.
Oh, I will wash my mouth with beard sores, our sir.
Mike, listen, it's good to be back, you know. I mean, we'll record this. Who knows if it'll ever go out, but, like, it's just nice to be chatting to you again.
It is. We did one about a year ago. We did two in a row. Do you remember?
Yeah. Neither of them went out.
We didn't. No, neither of them went out. And they were when I was in the throes of very bad back pain. I don't know if you remember.
That's why I didn't put it out.
Cause, or not.
Yeah, because you were... I don't like people thinking we have things like back pain, so I just left it out. I want people to think we're like just super... Superman, you know?
Yeah, like perfect people, but we're not perfect people. We're imperfect people.
Yeah, but Mike, I want people to think it's like the Beatles. They had to pretend they weren't married or didn't have girlfriends. You know what I mean? So,
what did they do? But I think take that the sort of the more modern bands had to pretend that they weren't married and stuff. I think the Beatles were okay with that sort of stuff.
I think the Beatles just weren't married.
I was listening to Ringo Starr recently, actually talking about Paul
Peace
McCartney
and love.
Saying,
Peace and love.
"Yeah, he always does that. It's really kind of like, Jesus, get over it. You know, you don't have to do that all the time."
He's in Gaza.
Some of his
right
lyrics.
Now. He's in Gaza right now fighting.
He is. Yeah, he's a human shield. His dyed beard is just like a guidance system.
Ringo's underground in Gaza building tunnels. It's not Hamas at all. Like, all right, peace and love, peace and love. Sorry, go on.
But he was saying they were only in business really for, what, 4 years or 6 years or eight, whatever, however many years it was. And if it wasn't for Paul, like, we would have just sat around scratching our asses and maybe done two or three albums. But he got us to do a load of albums, like, and work really hard. I was delighted to work really hard for that sort of time. I haven't done anything since. And he's right.
Well, hang on. He did Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
And he did a song, I think.
He did a completely inappropriate song, You Come On Like a Dream, Peaches and Cream. Lips Like Strawberry Wine. You're 16, You're Beautiful and You're Mine.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that did he write that? No.
Yeah.
Sure, that was written in the 30s or something when people thought it was okay to fancy 16-year-olds.
Jesus, we're going to have to Google that now. I could Google that, but unfortunately my software issues have led me to record this on the phone, which I could Google from, but I can't Google anything.
Because this is all new for us, isn't it, Mike? This what we're using, this Riverside FM platform, and I literally sent you the link.
Which sent me into... You sent me the link an hour and 10 minutes late, which sent me into a tailspin, which which added to the anxiety of me sort of thinking about recording a podcast with you. Not that I'm really anxious about the whole situation, but I'm more anxious about technology than anything. It's a pain in the hole. But it works. This is quite good now that we've managed to do it.
Yeah, now we set it up. I just thought, well, let's try it. But I should have given you, like, sent you the link a week ago or told you, check out Riverside before we record. What's the name of the song then? Is it called Peaches and Cream?
I think so, yeah. Sweet 16? Ringo Starr?
Yeah, Sweet 16, yeah. He's speaking to writing songs about... Song was covered.
Oh!
The song was covered by Ringo Starr in 1973, and this version reached number one in the US. It's a song by Johnny Burnett.
Okay, so interesting. I always thought that it was him. And why would you re-record that? Who would have thought that was a good idea?
I don't think he would have really thought about the lyrics in the same way that your man from the Rolling Stones went out with a girl who was 14 and everyone thought Mandy Smith or something.
You're talking about Bill Wyman.
Mm.
Yeah, whose daughter is shacked up with a Kildare man who is related to me, but I cannot go into it. Bizarrely.
There's
a link between us. Kildare.
No, I'm more interested in the link between you and Bill Wyman.
No, it's not. He's not a relative of mine. My relatives a long, long, long way off in the midst of time. I met this guy, he's a bus driver, and he's like, "That's you're Marin too, are you?" And I went, yeah. And he's very, now this guy is very, 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 very funny, has zero filter whatsoever. Brilliant. Really enjoyable and funny and witty with it. And I said, "You're a Marin, aren't you? You spell it differently." He said, "Oh, I fucking don't. It's M-A-R-R-O-N, the same as you. They've been spelling it differently here for years." And I'm sick of telling people this is how me name is spelt, as am I, because down here everybody calls you Marinan. But anyway, that's another story. So he's a Marin. I'm a Marin. And our grandparents or great-grandparents were related. And it transpires his son is an illustrative artist. He does illustrations for comics.
Wow.
And yeah, happened to meet a girl one day and it was Bill Wyman's daughter. And he was over at Bill Wyman's like chateau, or not chateau, but big stately home in England for Christmas.
Was he?
How cool is that?
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Jimmy the bus driver. All right.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Right, Kevin. Billy. Kevin, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Kevin, he sailed. Absolute gentleman. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't want to tell that story. I don't know why I'm not really breaking any.
I don't think you're breaking any confidence, are you?
And Bill, no, because Bill Wyman's new book has been illustrated by this guy, and he's a Marin. So yeah,
and that's Kevin's son.
That's Kevin's son. I don't know what his name is. Never met him. But I'm hoping that Bill is going to do some sort of a shout out to me and bring me over to Christmas.
He probably will. He'll probably give you a shout out. From the stage, the next time he plays the Rolling Stones. What was I going to say? So I'm surprised the Irish media haven't gotten hold of this fact, because that surely that'd be big news. Like, Irish fella goes out with famous daughter of famous person. Like, that's pretty much in Irish news, in tabloid newspaper circles in Ireland. That's success. He's made it.
Yeah, very much so. And it's funny, I was only talking to somebody about that sort of success yesterday, that Nathan Carter's brother was on Dancing with the Stars for no other reason than he was Nathan Carter's brother.
You mean Jakey?
Yeah.
All right, Jakey.
Yeah.
Oh, Jakey's a lovely fella.
Of course. It's bizarre that, you know.
Nepotism, isn't it?
It is a bit of nepotism, but it's like, it's nepotism, but it's like, is Jamie famous? Was he famous in his own right? Or did he just...
Jakey is also a singer.
Jakey.
And he's released songs and he's released albums. Now he's going out with, he's in a relationship with Karen, who was one of the dancers on Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
But
because I saw something with a girl, he was on TikTok and she was translating what he says or something. Because of his Scouse accent.
Oh, right. So, yeah, she's a dope and he's a Scouse.
Sorry.
Let me try and think. Did he do... Yeah, he's a singer. He's trying to make it. He's trying to make that his living. Seems like a sound chap. But, yeah, Nathan is the famous one, you know. Have you heard of the term Nepo Baby?
Yes, Nepo, yeah. Nepo babies, as in people just like Brooklyn. What's his name?
Brooklyn Beckham.
Yes.
Romeo just Beckham. Plays
famous
for,
because...
Yeah, so you're the child of a famous person and basically you're... People seem to hate people who are successful if they have a parent or an uncle who's famous. You're apparently not allowed to do that.
No, but a lot of it is sort of, I think the Nepo baby thing came from the fact that it was people were just famous because their parents were famous.
Oh, yeah, so if they don't do anything, but they're just famous.
Yeah, yeah.
Or did Brooklyn bring out a cookbook where he made ham sandwiches or something like that?
Probably. I mean, they're remarkably good at marketing. I mean, hats off to them.
Totally. Like, yeah. I'd buy him.
If I could. Yeah, so would I.
I'd do it, yeah. But I'm also talking about, like, so there's a guy on TikTok who, like, reveals, like, these bands that are actually related to very famous and wealthy people. Therefore, they only made it as a band because of the contacts and the money. But I would imagine, first of all, being the child of a very rich person in Hollywood or something, was probably shit.
Yes, yeah.
And then also, like, how many famous people's children certainly did not make it as anything? You know what I mean? Like, it's like the same percentage of the general public, probably.
Yeah, but they're going to have access to agents and their parents are going to know what the business is like and whatever. So there's a certain sort of leg up by the virtue that you are a sort of a child of somebody who is already in the game in that industry, no more than farmers becoming farmers and electricians, parents becoming and daughters becoming electricians. So, but that's not interesting on TikTok.
No, see, that would be my point. I'm like, well, his father was a musician. He probably grew up around music. He probably learned an instrument when he was young. He probably
knew guys
who worked in the record industry, possibly. He possibly grew up around other musicians. You know, his dad's friends probably had children who also played instruments. He probably just liked music and knew how it worked because he saw it from the inside. It's like, all right, sorry, Dad. But it does come across as a bit bitter, you know?
Of course, yeah, but it's not going to sell many clicks, is it? If you're sort of going, you know, there's a fella there driving a tractor and his father's a farmer and he drives a tractor too.
Where did he get that? How did he get his hands on a tractor? Because he has the contract. I live in a housing estate.
Yeah.
I live in a housing estate, no tractor. Because my father was an engineer.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that fella managed to get, you know, a tractor. And land.
And cows.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did he get the cows?
The trees.
His father.
Yeah. The mount.
Mike. Okay, so last time we recorded, and I should put them out, and I was thinking...
Ah, they were shit, I'd say.
I'd say they weren't. Do you know what was going on? They probably weren't. They're probably brilliant. I was trying to... I don't know if you remember, but I was trying to move to a different platform. I was trying to move the podcast to a different platform.
Yes.
And as we record this, and I think this might be why we haven't recorded in about 2 years, since then I've been trying to find time to call the guy to find out if we'd actually been moved onto the new platform or not. So I just hadn't got around to it. And then I went, ah, fucking just record it and find out later.
Because if one thing has been shown by our sort of the way we do things is that no stone is unturned. We are, it's in the detail.
Yeah.
The research goes into this podcast is phenomenal.
We're on it. Like we, yeah. Like we are dedicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we only, we're like the Beatles. This is our comeback. Like we only recorded, yeah. Did we record for 2 years or something like that?
Yeah, less than, I'd say.
And we recorded something like 4 million episodes in 2 years.
Well, you did. You recorded 140-odd or something, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You were knocking out two a week.
At one stage, I did three a week.
Yeah, but then...
That was before...
Then it got ridiculous.
That was before I went into the home.
Yeah, for the bewildered. I mean, we had people on like Willa White. There's a whole back catalogue, which is... I know there's some guy in England called Pete.
Yeah.
Who's part of the Two Pete's fame.
Oh, yeah.
Pete and Pete.
Yeah,
Pete is driving around South London, I think, listening to us at the moment.
Ah, Pete.
Old Pete. He's only just cottoned onto the fact that we did one. So there's always going to be people who just going to go, who fall across these things and come across old episodes. Jeez, my arms. We're doing this, by the way, listeners, with a camera. You're not listeners anymore. You're also viewers. And my hands look huge because I put them way up there. And it's like, it's all about, it's a bit Dougalish, far away. I'm not used to doing anything on camera.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because I had actually forgotten that this is actually audio and not necessarily, like, there will be, I'm trying to think back now. Did I say things? Did I hold up any pictures and say, look at this guy? Here, let me play this film for you. Let me play the silent movie for you. Just have a listen to this Charlie Chaplin. Early movie. Ah,
so
funny.
What's been going on?
Well, I wanted to ask you, before I sidetracked myself, how's the back? So the last time you had back issues.
I had huge back issues and I was in the throes of my back issues, which I had sciatica, very bad sciatica. I had L5, L4 and the corresponding discs out of alignment. So there's your little discs and there's everything. And everything slipped. They call it, it's the slip disc, but it's not a slip disc. It's a perforated disc. It's a la, la, la. And I went to see all sorts of people. I took all sorts of drugs.
Were any of these
some
people
really
you
good.
You went to see, were any of these people you went to see qualified to do anything?
One was a dog trainer.
Yeah, good, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he gave you
one
drugs.
Owned a sweet shop. Yeah. Give me some dog Calpol.
I got into one of the man. I just got into the back of his van because he had sweets and drugs.
He gave me something for my ear mites. it was fucking terrible though. Mm. The pain was something like I've never. I still can't feel the top of my right foot. There's nerve damage.
Wow.
I first had this when I was sitting down this time last year. I was sitting down and I thought, the bottom of my left heel sort of feels stingy.
Yeah.
And I instantly took my sock off and put it onto cold ground, which alleviated it. And I thought, I've probably got some sort of a trapped nerve or something. I don't know what this is. It feels really odd. 2 days later, nothing. Absolutely perfect. No pain whatsoever. You forget about it and go on. I'd say about a week later, my right foot couldn't feel it. From the toe up to the top of my ankle, so along the top of your foot, sort of up here. Mm. And I still can't feel it. It's do you remember when you were young and you used to get your finger and somebody else's finger, and then you would rub like that? Do you remember doing that? and it feels like
he's rubbing.
You don't know what you're rubbing.
He's rubbing up upwards. Oh yeah, yes.
You don't know which finger you're feeling.
As in, you don't know if it's yours or theirs.
Exactly. That's what I feel like on my foot. And that's how I have felt on my foot for the last good year now. And I'm sitting here rubbing it now, and it's still...
Your finger?
I can't really feel it.
No.
Fucking foot. Then sciatica, right leg, like somebody had a hot poker from one of those Viking movies and was shoving it into my knee and down through to my ankle. And then every once in a while, they twist it around a bit and go up through my hip. So it was, you can't walk. You don't trust your leg, even though you know it's referred pain from a little nipped nerve in your spine, in your spinal column. You know you've got the power of your leg. You can see your muscles move and whatever, but you just don't trust it. So I went on massive weight loss. My first stone that I lost, I was thinking, I'm at the end of my tether. It's not making any difference whatsoever. And overnight, the pain went from my right leg to my left leg. And it was more severe.
When you lost the weight.
Yes. And it was at that moment, that sort of week, it corresponded. I went to the doctor up in Galway, a back surgeon, and I said, listen, I've lost weight. I've been to physiotherapy. I'm doing core exercises. I'm doing this, that, and the other. I'm doing everything I can within my power to do this. I'm not on many drugs or anything like that. I'm trying not to take anti-inflammatories and yada, yada, yada. I'm trying to manage this physically by moving, whatever. And he said, yeah, he said, well, that's not uncommon. It can just flip from one leg to the other. So what's happened is, where the vertebrae was being sort of hit by one disc, your physiology moves. When you lose weight, your belly comes in and your spine moves, and the other disc hit and wallop down the left leg. And that was, and it was way worse. My left leg was worse than the right leg. So it's just fucking awful.
I presume the only thing for it was to put the weight back on straight away.
No. I then went on and lost another stone. So I lost 12 kilos, 12.23 kilos, whatever. Wow. And I was like powering through, losing weight, doing all these exercises and whatever that the physio had told me. Then I went to an acupuncturist.
Mm.
Who is also a physio here in Ennis. And he was like, okay, you've been at this a long time. He said, we need to sort this out. And I was going, well, I've lost this. I've done that. I've done the other. And he said, I'm going to give you some needle work first of all. And then, I'm going to maybe not do anything like today to physically mess around with you, but come back next week. So he put the needles, put about 15 needles down my left leg. And up until this point, I'd been sort of like sore all the time and not really able to sleep because you're always kind of going in one side and putting hot water bottles or something and bringing your knee up and sort of going back into the fetal position to sort of stretch your back out, to alleviate the pain. And went into him. Lay on my side. He said, I'm going to put some needles in. I didn't feel them at all. And then I felt like I was off my tits. Like, properly, like, woo, euphoria. And I thought, I'm imagining this.
Yeah.
You know, there's something.
He's put an epidural in this. One of the pins is an epidural or something.
Yeah, or it's laced with something or whatever. And the sessions were like 45 minutes to an hour. He said, I had to wake you up after an hour and a half. I was absolutely knocked out, like gone.
Wow.
Woke up And I kind of, you know, when you kind of look, somebody wakes you up and you're not in the right place.
Yeah.
And I must have been snoring and everything. And he's got other people waiting. And he's kind of looking at me, smiling, going, I tell you what to do. He said, take your time,
yeah.
get dressed, come out, and then come and see me next week. And I went, okay. And of course, I just kind of like, I was embarrassed, put my shoes on really quickly and whatever. And no pain. So I'm thinking, oh, hold on a sec now. This is all a bit odd. No pain for 2 days. Day three, pain like I'd run a marathon, sort of muscular
fatigue.
Everything had just kind of just gone. Bruh. And I was aching everywhere.
Wow.
My chest, my shoulder, my neck, my head, everywhere. And I was thinking, oh, never going back to him. Never going back to that guy. And then about 2 days later, I kind of like, I softened out a bit and thought, he's done something. My posture has completely changed. Went back and he said, how are you feeling? I said, the pain has moved. He said, okay, yeah. He said, it's gone from my hip down towards my knee. He said, okay, we're going to get it all. We're going to chase that fucking pain out through your top of your toe, he says to me. I went, okay. And I thought, you're in the hands of this guy. So I got in there, more needles. And then he took the needles out and he came at me with this massage gun thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oy, 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 oy.
And what happened when you were, and then he what starts, when you were asleep for an hour and a half the last time? Why was he telling you to put your clothes back on? You didn't have your clothes off when you fell asleep.
So he massages me with this thing and I'm thinking he's not doing much. And then he goes kind of deep, deep, deep. And then this gun, I felt like it was going through one part of my backside in and through the other. I felt like he was meeting the bed as he was like a jackhammer. I was thinking, oh my God, that's really sore. And wallop. Three sessions with him, pain gone. But again, you know, it's a culmination. You can always attribute it to something when it works.
Mm.
So, you know, it's the losing the weight. It's the doing the core exercises. And then it was him at the end, the crowning glory. I went to see him at exactly the right moment. It was like the universe was sort of like, woo, go see this guy. Yeah.
Wow. So
phenomenal.
You don't think that if it happened to you again, you'd just go straight to him and he'd probably be able to, he'd certainly be able to point you in the right direction, wouldn't he? Like he'd say, okay,
do
this, this and this, but you'd have to do this and then come back to me in 4 weeks and then we'll do it.
Yeah, and I know that if it happens again, and it is happening ever so slightly over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and again, I'm trying to lose, I put on a bit of weight, obviously, you know, it's very difficult to keep weight down because, you know, life goes on. You forget about the pain. I remember the last time we spoke, I was in so much, I couldn't get comfortable day or night.
Was this the time I went to meet you when I was in Limerick or no? Last recording.
No, I was bad. I was bad enough then. But when we spoke on the podcast that time, I was sitting in an upright chair. I was almost hovering and pushing myself up by the arms to alleviate any pressure on my back. It was awful. But you know, people, we got to look after our backs.
We have to look after our backs.
That's the thing.
Speaking of back issues, yeah, you can listen to all the podcasts. There's 147 of them.
Jesus.
All the back issues are there.
What a link to do.
What a link. We have to look after backs. I had sciatic as well. And I mean, I'm not as bad now, although I don't go to the doctor really, but I'll definitely go somewhere to get someone to do something. As in, I'd go to a chiropractor, I'd go to a physio. There's a Thai massage place in down the back street.
Which is going to be very good and deep tissue.
Yeah. So they walk on your back.
Yeah.
And when you're finished, you're very happy. But I got sciatic and I just managed with this, like, So I used to go into, I don't know, I probably told you, this is probably on the unreleased episode, but I'd go to work on the train, I'd cycle to the train, so I'd kind of stand up cycling, I'd stand on the train, I'd stand or lie down in meetings, like what the f*** was I doing? I should have just taken some time off, gone to a doctor, sorted it out. Yep. I researched online, got the stretches, like it took me about a year to kind of get rid of the pain, and then like it's gone now, but there was a time when I couldn't feel part of one of my feet. And it's just weird. I suffered.
Yeah. I could unnecessarily.
Have just gone to some guy and he could have stuck a vibrating machine up my backside, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, works wonders, I can tell you.
Have you ever seen the video? I think it's on video, TikTok again. I've heard of these guys, but I've never had it done. But you know, if you have a problem with your coccyx, so there are injuries the footballers get sometimes, and what the chiropractor physio guy has to do, he has to go in through the rectum with his finger, push it back out.
Like your tailbone. It's like...
Yeah, that little bit there.
Oh,
So he goes back up your ass with his finger and goes, all right, hang on. Back in. Like, you know, it's...
I suspect I'm doing what everybody listening to this is doing now. I'm sort of leaning forward with my hand close to my...
It looked like you were trying, It looked like you were trying it.
Yeah.
Let's see if that works.
Yeah, it's remarkably... It's close to the exit, isn't it?
Yeah. You'd have to have a long enough finger, wouldn't you? Like to... You know.
But them lads have big fingers.
Them lads have long fingers. But I saw it... It was a French rugby team in the dressing room, and one of the lads had an injury, and just everyone standing around talking about, you know, second half. Come on, lads. Blah, blah. We must win this game. Blah, blah. And a few lads standing in the corner smoking five, going, yeah, fuck it. I don't care.
Galois.
and then just in the middle of it all, there's a player on all fours, and the guy goes up his bum, and that's it. And the man stands up, pulls his shorts up, and your man smells his finger.
Are you sure that just wasn't a reward for scoring it?
It wasn't. Actually, come to think of it, it wasn't a dressing room at all. It wasn't nothing to do with a rugby match.
If you all score a try, lads, you can all get this. The same finger. I won't watch it.
But I think it's a thing that happens to people, but nobody ever talks about it. As in, like,
well,
one will ever admit to having a finger up the bum. Yeah.
I've had it for my prostate inspection.
Yeah, it's all right.
Have you had a prostate inspection?
No, you don't need to do the finger up. Well, they don't do that anymore.
They stopped
doing that 30 years ago, mate.
No, you can do your blood thing, but it's not as good as doing the old.
But all they're going to feel is all they're going to feel is what a swollen prostate.
Yeah.
Which is that's the man male G spot, apparently.
Yeah. So, it's not. It's not like any fucking G spot I've ever.
What's pleasurable, though? It's like,
oh
no, your prostate feels fine. Are you sure? Give it a good old check there now. Keep checking.
Again, you're sideways in the fetal position on the table, and all I could see was when he'd finished, he kind of done the glove came off, and kind of threw it into a pedal bin. I went, now you'll be coming back for that every week, won't you?
And like, what, they didn't buy you dinner at and just straight in? No kidding.
Lot of lube.
You need a lot of lube, because I presume that, like, that's a one-way street for me.
Yeah, very much so. But it's like it was. There was a couple of digits as well. You need a lot of lube, right. And it made it interesting. The next time then one passes something, it went whew.
Oh, because the lube is
still there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that anyway myself, just to see, just to experience the.
Yeah, stick a basketball up your ass just to see what happens. Some strawberry lube.
I bet there's a lady in Thailand who can do that and does it every night in a bar.
Certainly is. Yeah.
And then fires it out.
Ping pong, yeah.
So the back is, occasionally you get the odd, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You get the fright.
And then I panic and then I start doing core exercises. You know, you breathe in. And then you breathe out, but you breathe. How did she say it? My physio was very, very good as well.
Yeah.
You breathe in, and then as you breathe out, you tense your core on the out, and it's like you feel like your innards are squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. I'm doing it now as I'm talking to you, and it does. It really firms you up.
And she called these exercises, not just breathing. No.
Yeah, well, that was an exercise. I was sort of on my back, knees up in the air, swishing them round from right to left, and between that you do these breathing exercises. But you're really engaging your core during the breath.
There's a lot of stuff that happens to you that you end up on your back with your legs up in the air and fucking.
Yeah, in the fetal position, up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the number four one, when you put your leg up, you're lying on your back and you put your leg up sort of 90 degrees up against a door frame or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you put the other leg over, and it looks like a number four. And then you start pulling your knee towards your, and the stretch, you can feel it.
You can feel it like your arse, across your arse.
Yeah, yeah, your arse is like it's crossing itself.
But also you'd like that stretch is like you'd nearly if it's been bad enough and you do that stretch you'd almost like pass out like you did almost with the relief.
Yeah, you go through pain and relief at the same time. Yeah, like sex.
Yeah, at the same time. might be doing it wrong. You know what happened with that doctor? That wasn't sex, Mike. That was just a checkup.
Yeah. That was just it was a loving checkup.
It was. I liked his line though, and he probably says that every time. You'll be coming.
Well,
back.
He has on the subsequent. Yeah, when I went back next week, he said exactly this.
Yeah, he said, you don't have to come back for a fortnight now.
But if you want, I can fit you in every Tuesday.
Doctor, I'll fit you in.
Yeah, and the next time he went, oh, look, no hands. Boom. Yeah. No, he didn't.
That's terrible. And since then, you're working on the cliffs again.
I certainly am, yeah. I was working. I've been working in the cliffs. Go on.
Were you off work? Like, I'm trying to remember the timeline of all of this. Like, were you off work?
No, I never. No. I never stopped working through my back pain.
Wow.
You know, it's a mental thing. The pain is there, but you just have to literally walk on through it.
Yeah.
And ignore what's being told to you. Every once in a while, it's so. Fucking sore, you just got to sit down for a minute or something.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I'm in a place where I can sit down and just grab a passing sort of tourist and go, hello, how are you? Sit down there and we'll have a chat. You know, as you're, but it's amazing then how, but it's amazing how many people you meet and go, sorry, I had to sit down there. My back's at me. And everybody has got a back story.
Mm.
Literally, a back story and a back story. Yeah. See what I did there? That was really clever.
Brilliant. That was very good. But so you just, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I did the same, kept going, worked through it.
Yeah.
I think at the time I was like, oh no, this, if I went to a physio, it would cost money, and you know, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
Whatever, like,
yeah.
Just weird.
But you see, the other thing is to get in with a physio or this or that or the other, you've got to go wait for a month, you know, and this is doing it, you know, like this is ringing up and saying, how much is this going to cut? Yeah, but we're busy. Everyone's busy. And they might get you in. I mean, my physio, I waited 3.5 weeks and I went to her and it was like, oh my God, she's just telling me to stretch. This is no good. And it did me the world of good. Those stretching exercises I still do to this day, and they give you instant relief. Anything to sort of to stretch that sciatic nerve. You know?
And it is, it's
throwing your legs around.
The sciatic nerve kind of, as it goes, like it's the longest nerve in your body or something, or
yeah,
and it takes your body from one side to the other. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's a big deal.
And the other guy, the doctor up in Galway said to me, it's a millimeter a day it's going to take to sort of get all the way from your head down to the top of your foot. It's a long time, he said. So that numbness is going to be there for a long, long time, and it may always be there.
Wow.
It's just like, fucking hell. And you're only, you know, and I didn't do anything to my back. That's the thing. I didn't lift anything. I didn't do anything. I wasn't, you know,
it was just jarring. It was just over time.
Yeah. Age.
Age.
I've got a little bit of stenosis as well, which is the hole in my spinal cord is thinner than it should be. So if there is anything moving that spinal cord, it's got less room to sort of waffle about.
So it's going to hit something quicker than most people.
There you go. Yeah. But that's an age thing as well.
There is a guy, I don't know if I told you about him. I haven't gone to see him yet, but I'm definitely, he's on my bucket list. Magic Hands Jimmy.
No, whereabouts is he?
He's in Blanche, I think. And I think he could be, now this is going to sound terribly racist or something, but I think he's Polish. If I was to put him anywhere, I'd say Polish. But he does the whole, grabbing you by the neck and pulling you back, stretching out your, have you ever seen those guys, the proper chiropractors that grab you by the end of the leg and yank your hip, your leg out of your hip and straighten everything.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
Oh, I would love that. I love it. But think about it. Sorry. Magic Hands Jimmy, come on. That's why.
Yeah. I couldn't go and see him because my son's name is Jimmy and I just couldn't Magic Hands.
Yeah, you can't start calling Jimmy Magic Hands off. Jimmy. Yeah, that's weird. And also Jimmy Savile and, you know.
Oh, fuck. I never even put the two of those together. Did you watch Steve Coogan being Jimmy Savile?
I watched a bit of it and to be honest with you, I was like, I really, really... I mean, I loved him on Jim Will Fix It. He was brilliant, you know. He does.
Yeah.
If someone told me what he did, you know, outside of work in his spare time, I'd have been like, but Jim Will Fix It is brilliant, you know. That was the feeling at the time. You'd forgive him, you know. Like, I'd be like, you have to separate the art from the artist from the, you know, from the man. But it was so brilliant.
Yes.
I was uncomfortable.
The first one made me very, very, very uncomfortable.
Mm.
But I also found it that I couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah.
It was so intriguing and so well done. Yeah. Alan Partridge. What's his name? Steve Coogan.
Steve Coogan.
Yeah, brilliant.
He is definitely one of the best actors. That most underrated actors.
One of the highlights of my podcasting year, listening to podcasts, was In the Oast House with Alan Partridge.
And I don't think I've listened to that because it's on Audible or something like that.
It is on Audible. I think there are other ways now to listen to it, but I listen to it on Audible. It is phenomenal. I think Sally Ann was away or doing something.
Yeah.
My wife, Sally Ann. And I had a Saturday here. The weather was bad. And I was sort of stuck in the house doing bits and pieces. And I popped my headphones on. And somebody had said, listen to, you know, In the Oast House, or Audible had maybe suggested it for me because it was part of my deal. And I listened to 5.5 hours of it in one hit. And was crying with laughter and embarrassed in equal measure at the stuff that he does, because he's on his own in this, and he's just
cringe.
He's horrible. Alan Partridge is horrible, but in this, he's fucking awful. You know,
like even his worse.
Innermost thoughts. Yeah, it's him thinking as well, and just kind of talking you through his thought process. It's fucking, it's horrible and cringy, but brilliant. Absolute genius, and it kind of flows. Well worth a listen.
Okay, I'm going to have a listen to that. Why is Steve Coogan intent on making us all feel uncomfortable? Why is that his raison d'être?
I don't know.
His mission.
There's a bit of I loved him in the film he did about the fast food or fast clothing greed.
Oh, do you see him in Greed? I don't think I've seen that yet.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say Philomena.
Philomena, again, he was great. When he does straight acting, he does really good straight acting.
Yeah.
But when he does his sort of
character
Partridge-esque stuff, I mean, it's just that kind of... It's a bit Ricky Gervais, isn't it? You know, that kind of, we're uncomfortable.
But it's a million times better.
Yes.
Because Ricky just ripped him off. And the original is always the best, you know. The original is always the best, really, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know whether Ricky Gervais ripped him off or not. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he was doing Paul Metcalf. What was it?
Paula Metcalf. Yeah. Paula. Paula. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was fucking horrible stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and North Norfolk Digital, and you know, and what he was doing, and it's just some of the stuff he does. You know, I'm doing a couple of corporate gigs.
There was a great, when he talks about his car, which is kind of just an executive car. It's, oh my god!
He's got an executive Vauxhall in this Oast House, and he's really pissed off that somebody else who is another Z-list celebrity has got the version up from him. It's genius.
There's a great clip of him when he's on doing the radio show, Norfolk, whatever it's called. And he has a singer songwriter in. The guy's got his guitar, and he has a quick chat with him. But in the clip, he's talking to the guy. He goes, "We have a song." And your man's like, huh? He goes, "Here's Status Quo," and he just brings up the fader, you know. it was just so well done, because it was like your mom was just about to launch. You know, we have a song. We have a song. Oh, yeah. Here's Status Quo. Yeah. It's just stupid things like that. And the guy who was the sidekick.
Yes.
I can't remember that comedian's name. Is that Simon? Is it? He's very good as well, and he underplays everything in a good way. But
yeah, and he does his version of the One Show.
Yeah,
you know, he does the Alan Partridge Tonight.
He's overdue. At the touchscreen.
It never works. It's just shit.
But when he's in the studio with him, he's like, it's kind of, it's all, it's very good. It's very well done, because it's very true. Because he's on the radio, he's got a sidekick, and then he just fucking says something absolutely horrible to him. Like, he literally, like, just you're a piece of shit on my shoe, you know, like, just and it's like, but it's fucking happens all the time.
Is that what you were like on the radio?
Yeah, I used to say that too. I used to fucking pretend. I used to lure my co-presenters into a false sense of, you know, camaraderie, love, friendship, and then I go, cunts, there's something, you know, I'll say something hard. Like, they'd say something funny, or like they go, and I go, what? What'd you say? Oh my God. You know those lads who just say, are you looking at me? What are you looking at? You know, fellas, you have nothing to do. You're just walking down the road and some lad wants to fight you. So any other news? What's been happening? I feel like has it been 2 years since we actually put an episode out?
I think it is, yeah. It'll probably be another 2 years. You know, you never know. You're doing all sorts of stuff, aren't you? You're doing podcasting training.
Yeah, so I have a podcasting course. So say, for instance, if you were interested in doing a podcast, Mike, you know, and you weren't doing it with someone who was flaky arsehole. it's a six. Here's the model for you, Mike, right? Here's the elevator pitch. It's a 6-week podcasting course, couch to first episode in 6 weeks.
Oh, I like that. I like the couch to first episode.
2 hours a week.
Okay.
And if you do the things that I tell you to do, if you obey my order, if you follow the things, you will have an episode by week six. That's pretty good, isn't it?
That is impressive, yeah. So will you be using this thing we're using?
Riverside. Well, we used to use Zoom and we just take the audio off it. We never even put out the pictures, but Riverside is great because it records. So this will record your audio from your end, takes my audio from my end, and then up in the clouds, it brings them together, mixes them together, and then plonks it onto my computer. So it's not taking your audio from my end. It's taking
best
audio from both ends, syncing them up, lining them up, boom. Like the technology in podcasting is it's not easy, but like literally I'll say, and people say, oh, do I need a mic? Do I need it? I said, have you got a phone yet? Have you got, you know, plug in your headphones? You don't need much.
No, I mean, I've got quite a lot of kit, and we're actually doing this on my phone.
On your phone,
now, today, due to me being an imbecile and not updating my computer before I came on, and I was running the wrong version of something and something and something, and I couldn't do it on my computer. So I just hit it, and my phone launched it for a finish.
Yeah, I don't think you're to blame here, Mike, because I didn't tell you that we were using a different platform, so you didn't know. And I could have told you a week ago, and then you would have had everything sorted, you know? Or you would have left it to the last minute, and then the night.
I probably would have left it to the last minute anyway.
So it's very easy to make a podcast. I encourage everyone to do it. The most difficult thing about a podcast is content. Mike, if we had good content, we would be probably number one every week.
If we thought about what we were going to say.
Well, I mean, I think in fairness to us, this is literally started off as possibly a reason for us to just have a chat with someone during lockdown. And then it just kind of, it just went from there. And then I got that stupid job and got busy and wasn't able to do anything.
But life took over.
Life took over. So the podcasting course, you can do it. I run them in real life in Newbridge, in the Newbridge Business Centre. But also you can just attend that class on Zoom. And some people find it difficult to learn on Zoom. Some people are okay with it. So it really depends on yourself. But then I also do a podcasting course, which I've developed, we're getting it accredited, and it's with the Educational Training Board in Mayo, Sligo, Leitrim, MSL. Education Training Board, and we're going to have a level 5 accreditation. So basically, leaving cert level. We could go level 6, but it'll be a lot more kind of work to get that accreditation. And I don't really think it's for a podcasting course. I'm not sure that it's that important that it's, you know, accredited, because most people are doing it for their small business, for themselves, or to as a career, or doing it like some companies, they'll send someone in to learn how to do it so they can promote the company. you know, Sally Ann could probably do with having a podcast with somebody else and promoting the business. I'm trying to get my wife, Suzanne, Nick and Sue to do it to promote Nearly Sisters. What's Sally Ann? Sally Ann, it's
bags. Handmade bags.
Handmade bags. Sally Ann's Handmade Bags, is it?
Yep.
Are they online or?
That's the one. Oh, they certainly are. Yeah. Sally Ann's handmade bags.com. No. Oh, Christ, I don't know.
The .com isn't important anymore. You just put into Google. Yeah, Sally Ann's Handmade Bags.
Sally Ann's Handmade Bags. Yeah. And that'll get you to where it is.
Nearly Sisters have a website as well. But it's small business and they learn it and they get something out of it. So then they've got content and they can use that content to promote their business by doing a bit of PR around it. So there's a whole, it's good. I definitely wish it was around when I was a nipper, you know, or.
Yes, it would have been useful when we were doing this because there's always the uploading and the technical side of stuff and whatever.
Mm.
And I remember you had a very nice neighbor who was an engineer or an electrician.
John.
Yeah.
John, basically, probably listening now. Hi, John. Or else he got so pissed off waiting for the next one to come out, he'll never listen again. And also hello to Liam, who was also waiting for the next one to come out.
Lovely Liam. Yes. Yeah. How is he?
Well, has he sent you any pictures of any unusual birds lately? No.
No. And I should send you one, actually, because we've got a pine marten that comes to our garden now for feeding.
What?
Yeah.
We should have just done the whole podcast on that pine marten.
Well, maybe that's the next one.
Okay. Coming up in the next episode, the pine marten.
We can do a nature program.
Mike's pine marten. Mike, are you? We're nearly at the hour mark. How are you feeling? You flagging? You ready to go? You ready to give up? You done?
I probably need to go because I got to go somewhere in about 4 minutes.
Oh, well, right. Do you have to be there in 4 minutes, or do you have to go in 4 minutes?
No, I need to leave in about 4 minutes.
Mike, it's been a pleasure. There's so much shit we didn't talk about. We've got to space it out. I've got years ahead of us.
Yes, we do need to space it out. We need to probably get together a bit more and talk about stuff and do things.
This is what we're doing. This is the only way this podcast will exist is if we only meet and only talk on the podcast. If we do any preparation, we'll break it. Do you remember the time we tried?
Yeah.
To have a sort of formula.
Yes. That was we said, we were going to do this and we were going to do that. And we were going to limit it to 40 minutes. Mm. And it was a bucket of shite.
Yeah, we ended up talking about...
Like, yeah, we need to get back. Yeah.
We don't need to do anything.
There you are saying the cornerstone of any good podcast is the content.
Yeah, but like I have other podcasts that I put effort into, Mike. This isn't...
Thanks.
This isn't it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Surely you have other side podcasts, Mike. That you put work into.
Funnily enough, I have an idea for a podcast.
Well, you've got the equipment.
I don't have an idea.
And I will help you get it going and I'll give you all the teaching. I'll let you go.
There you go.
I'll let you go.
Okay.
All right. Say hello to Sally and James. You can never call him Jimmy again now. Sally and James and the cats. And Mr. Pine Martin.
Mr. Pine Martin. Love to everybody in Kildare. Nearly Sisters, the whole lot.
I have to go up to everyone in Kildare.
Okay,
you've got to go.
Yeah, I got to go, but I need to also download stuff on another computer so that I can do this from a computer rather than my phone.
Oh yeah, sure. You've got loads of time. We won't do this for a year again, probably. See you, Mike.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Love you. Bye.
Just made me feel uncomfortable. But he's still there.
Bye,
Mike.
You're about to leave the studio while uploading.
Shit. How do I hang up with you? Can you still see me? Are we still on?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I've still got this thing saying you're about to leave the studio while uploading.
Is this thing on?
I don't know what the fuck that means.
No. you waiting for me to, I'm finished.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.